My name is Caroline Coy. I'm 31 years old. Today is July 31st, 2019, and I'm speaking with my partner, Mariah Schumann. Or not my partner, but I'm speaking with Mariah Schumann, my colleague. And we are recording in Miami, Florida. So, Mariah, can you tell me about someone who had a big influence on your life? You don't have to pop. So part of the experience is for us to be able to hear maybe how long it takes you if something comes to mind right away.
Oh, gosh. So you can talk through your thoughts.
I'll talk through my thoughts.
This is actually a funny question because I remember being a child or in high school, and you know when they ask you that question, like, who's had a big influence on your life or is there a mentor and da da da, and I've always had not an answer. I've never had a really good answer for that. And so it's like the worst question.
Well, I guess like if we look at the question, it's influence in a big way.
Yeah.
So it could be any kind of influence. I don't know if that helps.
I probably am going to talk about my mom.
Okay.
Even though I would be embarrassed if she knew how much time I just spent hesitating to get to that. So it's hard for me to say my mom because when I think of influence, I think of external. And when I think of family, especially mother, father, you know, it's just that's part of really who you are. So obviously mm-hmm. there's going to be an influence. But I think I think we're all individuals and we're all different from others in many ways, but I think sometimes that I think differently than a lot of people, you know, about how I approach things and how I approach life. And so I go back to where that might have come from. And, you know, my mom, when she was a teenager, she got on a bike and she did Bike Centennial, which is a bike across country. And that was very different for her and her family, you know, to just be like 17 years old in 1969 and get on a bicycle and go across country. And then she ended up, you know, fast forward, marrying my father, and they ended up going on a bike trip together around the United States with me as a three-year-old. And so that's, you know, when I think about it or when I think about doing that with my own child, you know, that takes a lot to just get up, stop everything you know, move away from who you know, move away from the routine, and just pack your whole life onto two bags and get on a bicycle, and especially with a three-year-old, because then there's all these, and I think we live in a different world now where there's a lot more dangers on the road than would have been, because I was three, so that would have been 1983. So I think people are faced with a different reality now when they think about putting a family on the back of a bike. Anyway, so I think just the idea of kind of being a free thinker and maybe not, I feel that I don't always conform to social norms the way some others might, and I think that has had a big influence as to why. It's just because I've had a non-conforming lifestyle.
When you think about the story of your mother packing you all on a bike and going on this trip, do you think of it as something you want more of in your life? Or something that you're already living out in your life?
The it meaning
that kind of
lifestyle?
That kind of,
or like being
ability to just to pack the bags and go that you described. Like that non-conforming.
And I think I've always been that person. person. I think mm-hmm. I have been always, you know, pack my bags and go. And
yeah.
until I had my son.
Mm-hmm.
And then I now have a husband who's not American. And so visa mm-hmm. issues get into, and just knowledge of culture. Like, it's one idea to, like, pack our bags and go across country in the United States. Because then there's this language barrier that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And so then a lot of the responsibility falls on to me, which is fine. But it's taking on a lot of responsibility, you know, which is a little scary. And then, like, if we were to go backpack across South America, then it's like I have the privilege of having a U.S. passport, whereas he doesn't. And so in most countries, he might have a harder time getting from border across border to across border. So I think I am a person who can just kind of get up and go. However, being a mother and having a child has changed that. But I will tell you that before coming to my current position, when I was looking for jobs that would bring me closer to South Florida, my hometown, in a sense, I said to him, if nothing works out, you know, my baby is 3 years old, let's get on a bike and we'll recreate the trip that my parents had. Mm-hmm. But then I got a job.
Oh,
offer.
Man.
Good.
So it sounds like this person just taught you the lesson of who you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's kind of correct?
Mm-hmm. You can say that, yeah.
Can you describe one of your happiest memories?
I think it's all a blur. So I don't have very distinct memories before the age of like 7 or something like that. But, you know, even just looking back at pictures and photos, and I think a lot of my memories also are non-existent because I'm an only child. So what I mean by that is, you know, I don't have a person to really share and tell mm-hmm. stories. And, you know, so I feel like it's hard to have memories because I haven't recreated those scenarios through talking mm-hmm. a lot. But in looking at pictures, you know, and actually I have a tattoo on my back of a dragonfly. And what that represents to me is that freedom of childhood. Because for me, being on a bike at that young age was, I just remember like going through woods and rivers and, you know, just exploring and running around and, you know, just really having so much freedom. And then I think of a dragonfly who just kind of like flies and, you know, kind of sails through life and goes where he or she wants. And so that's kind of that representation. The symbolic representation of why I got that tattoo is to just always remind me to return to that childlike state of having giving myself the freedom to not be attached.
Mm. It also seems like bikes are a theme so far in this interview.
Yeah,
it was a meaningful
part of my life.
To you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And can I ask, because so you grew up in South Florida, so that was your hometown.
Yeah.
Where are these rivers and streams that you're biking to?
I claim South Florida as my hometown because I've lived here since I was 5. So it's really, mm-hmm. you know, as I said again, I don't have these memories from before really the age of 7.
Mm-hmm.
So I always claim Florida because it's South Florida because I grew up in Miami Beach. It's what I know. It's what I remember. The thing that I don't tell people is that I'm not a native Floridian by birth certificate. So I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and you know, generationally, like, my dad has ties to Wisconsin and Chicago, and then my mom, you know, always Wisconsin, Wisconsin, Wisconsin. And so, you know, that's where I was born, but I know nothing of that place mm-hmm. or that Midwest world. Like, it's just it's foreign to me, really. And
yeah.
So when we did the bike trip, my parents left Milwaukee, Wisconsin in 1983. They only had one rule, which was to stay as close to the border as possible. And so we traveled around the map of the United States when I was the first winter we were in Washington State, and it was so cold that my parents ended up opening a small business, a sandwich shop called the Brown Baguette, and worked through the winter to earn money. And then we traveled down the coast of California, et cetera, Texas, you know, whatever, what's Arizona, New Mexico, always along the border. And so these river places or water places, we were always by water, just by the law of the bike trip, which was to stay as close to the border as possible.
Very cool. Yeah. So I did not know that about you.
Estuaries and oceans.
What are you proudest of?
Now my family, I mean, my life has, as anyone's life, has had ups and downs and trials and tribulations. And, you know, I've always said that I've been lucky in love. I've always, you know, had really good relationships with partners. And right now I'm just really proud that I have a loving husband, a healthy relationship with him, a very healthy relationship with my son. Like, there's a lot of love in our little family unit. And that's not always easy to cultivate. And I feel very fortunate that my husband is just such a loving person, and that, you know, somehow we found each other and we chose each other. And that, you know, my son is following in that loving environment. Like, I'm very proud of our family. You know, we have a really good family. In the immediate, you know, the nuclear family sense.
So it seems odd to ask why this makes you feel proud, because I feel like this is something so many people want, but it's kind of obvious why, like, to have a loving family is, like, kind of a thing. Everybody strives.
Like, we're socialized to have to want that. I mean, that's because I don't think everybody wants it, right? I mean, there are people that never want to get married
or never
want to have children. So as a social norm, yes, it's something.
I guess
that
I think
strive.
Love, like having love surrounding you. How would you like to be remembered?
That's another one of those questions I don't like. Of course I want to be remembered as a kind person, someone who helps other people. But I do kind of want to leave some kind of legacy that might be a little bit even physical, and I don't know what that thing is quite yet, because I feel like kindness and helping others is a wonderful legacy, but it's also intangible. And so, you know, I would like to leave a mark in this world that makes this world a better place. And that, you know, I'm an environmentalist, and so that might come in an environmental way. But I also, you know, want to always help the plight of the underdog. And so that might be serving people in need, but somehow, ideally, it would be wonderful to leave some kind of a foundation or a physical place or have a building in my name that is dedicated to making the world a better place in some way. Now, that's a huge goal, and I don't know if life will ever take me in that way, but, you know, we can dream.
Definitely. If this was to be our very last conversation, is there anything you'd want to say to me?
Yes, fly. It's funny because I feel like we've had little snippets of this conversation, but, you know, don't limit yourself. Don't let anything limit yourself. Like, there is a world out there, and I think that before you do have children, if you ever have children, I know you have a dog, so there's that, but just, you have the freedom right now, hopefully, and I think sometimes it's so valuable to just do nothing and see what comes your way. And I also would like to say that if there's something in life that you really want to do, like maybe off the career path, off the beaten path, like take surfing, for example, or becoming a yoga teacher, for example, or I don't know, investing in stocks, because I feel like those are also artsy, you know, like do it and spend the money to take a class to see where that leads you. Like, I feel like I've always been too cheap, you know, like I don't have the money to do this, I don't have the money to do that. And you know, if you can find a way to subsidize yourself in some way to like make that thing happen and just see where that leads you, that mm-hmm. would be something I would want to say.
Yeah, I definitely feel like just at the end of our work days or at the end of tough weeks, this is a conversation that has come up not just with us, but with other people we work with, and this idea that we shouldn't feel stuck on one path. But it's also so hard.
It is. And I think that's why I say, you know, if you ever are going to have children, you know, mm-hmm. that's just going to be one more layer of a reason why you can't do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think, and, you know, going back to the bike trip, actually, that was something that I think is really important to share with people. When my parents were making this decision, the people who were most supportive of them were the grandparent age. Mm. The people who were least supportive of them were, you know, their peer age. So, you know, people that were in their young careers or mid careers. The people that were most supportive were grandparents and retirees that said, if you don't do it now, you will never do it. And there's so much truth to that. And as a mid career professional, I can definitely say that. It just gets harder and harder. You start having bigger and bigger commitments. Yeah. And so even if it's hard now, don't wait.
Yeah. And our last question.
Mm-hmm.
So for your great, great grandchildren listening to this years from now, is there any wisdom you'd want to pass on to them? What would you want them to know?
That cultivate love and happiness. Like, anger is no way to live. And just, there's a lot of sadness in this world, and there are a lot of hardships in this world. And love is something that can be easy if you cultivate it. And good relationship, like find people who nourish you and support you and make you feel better as a person, and don't waste your time on people who don't. Because at the end of the day, you cannot control what other people think, how other people act, but you can control who you spend your time with and how you interact with others. Make other people feel good, and I think other people will make you feel good about yourself. And so just really cultivating kindness and love and trying to exist in that space, because nothing else really matters, or nothing else is really gonna bring you joy, I think. And care about the environment.
Yeah, so that you still have a home, my great-great-grandchildren. Well, thank you so much, Mariah, for speaking with me today, and hopefully we will speak again soon.
Yeah, it was great sharing. Thank you. Oh my God.